the piano. Karen Potter, so a family trio. You might want to take a Bible out and just turn to that story that we read just a moment ago and follow along. I just want to share with you a few thoughts on this Christmas Eve as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Christ. You just heard the story read. It's in Luke chapter 2. I invite you to turn there if you didn't bring a Bible. There's one in the pew rack right there in front of you. As we continue, as I told you earlier, to celebrate the Advent, the coming of Christmas, by our theme this year has been that God is on the move. God is on the move. Christmas is on the move. It is all about moving. And in fact, we believe that Christmas equals a God who is on the move. We don't believe here in a God who is tied to one place or who is bolted to a floor where you have to go to Him to worship. A God who cannot move, a God who cannot speak or cannot hear. We believe in a God who is living and active and moving among us. He is actively invited and a part of our lives. And that is great to know that we serve such a wonderful God. And that Christmas is all about that. In fact, the Bible's all about that, because the Bible from cover to cover is showing how God moves among us to reveal Himself among us. It starts by God in heaven, who has created this world that He loves, that He cherishes, that He wants to have relationship with. He comes from heaven down to earth. That was the plan from the beginning. So it started with to Jerusalem. He chose a people, the people of Israel, to send His message to the world, that He loved the world. And it was through that city of Jerusalem that prophets came through for thousands of years, and the prophets proclaimed, there's a Messiah coming. God will reveal Himself. The Word will become flesh. You will meet Him. You will see God. From Jerusalem, we see it go to our story go to Nazareth, to a young family, and particularly a young girl who is engaged to be married, named Mary. And she encounters an angel, and that angel gives her this news that not only is the Messiah coming, but now is the time, and this is the place, and she is the one that will be an instrument of letting that Messiah come into this world. How glorious is that? But if you know your Bible and you look back, you find that the Messiah is going to come through the city of Bethlehem, that small town, and Mary's in Nazareth. So once again, Christmas is on the move, and it goes from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And young Joseph and his wife Mary, his soon-to-be wife Mary, go, even as she's expecting child, to Bethlehem. They get to Bethlehem, and Holiday Inn is full, and the Sheraton's booked up, and they didn't make reservations ahead, and so the next thing you know, they're in a stable, in a barn, in the garage, and there they have the baby. Still Christmas on the move. And the story continues, and it continues, and today we believe that God is still a God on the move. He's not a God that's satisfied with status quo. He's not a God who's satisfied for us to just be in one place. But He longs for us to grow and to be fulfilled and to become all that we were created to be. And that involves following and serving a God who's on the move. How do we keep up? How do we keep up with that? How do we keep up with a God who's on the move? How do we not stay where we are and follow Him? The Bible tells us that first of all, we need a leader. And the Bible defines that leader as that baby in the manger. The leader is Jesus. In Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 2, it says that we should focus our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, the beginning and the end of our faith, the one who not only started it, the pioneer of our faith, but the one who will finish it, a good leader. He's defined as the good shepherd, a shepherd that laid down his life for his sheep. We believe that Christmas is more than about a baby in a manger. It's about a baby who grew up and became the Son of God. And as He was the Son of God and walked the earth and taught us and did miracles and then died for us and rose again that we might live. Jesus is our leader. It also talks, if we're going to follow something that's moving, if we're going to follow a God on the move, we need directions. God's provided those directions in the Bible. The Bible is that place. The Bible is the what it has described us. We've said before over the last few weeks of Advent that it's not a mystery. That the pathway to find God is not a mystery. It is laid out before us, and the Word of God tells us where to go and where to find God. And it's very clear that that God is Jesus. Well, not only that, but we need on a trip, on a journey through our faith, we need check-in points. We need to check in regularly, and that's by praying. Not only do we read the Bible and see the map and find the instructions, but we also find, God, am I doing okay? How's it going? What do I need to do better? We all are in progress. We're all under construction. And so these are the ways that we follow a God who's on the move. So if we look at this story, when we look at this first Christmas, we find that in Luke chapter 2, if the scripture that was just read by Linda, we find that here's Mary and Joseph on the move, and then the angels who appear to the shepherds. And I just want to read a few verses again from that story about the shepherds there. So if you're there in chapter 2, I'm just going to start at verse 8. We're just going to read a few of these verses. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Then the angels are joined with a big group of angels that sing together, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth to those who and whom his favor rests." When the angels left them and into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem." That's where I want us to pause right now. I believe that Christmas is something that we need to experience personally, on a personal level, for it to have the meaning that it needs to have. You can decorate your house. You can put up a Christmas tree. You can put on the lights. You can buy the gifts. You can go to the parties. And sometimes you can do all that without ever personally having any personal meaning to you in your own heart, in your own life. I believe that when Christmas enters our life, when the true meaning of Christmas is something we grab onto, it changes everything about us. The shepherds are a great example. Here in this passage, we find that the shepherds, first of all, and I would challenge us to do the same thing, if we're going to make Christmas personal, we have to see it. We must see it. The angels came to the shepherds right there in the field, and God is always a God who comes to us and reveals himself to us. Maybe it's through a church service. Maybe it's through a song on the radio. Maybe it's through a friend who shares the love of Christ with you. But God reveals himself. He's constantly pursuing us. And here the angels come and sing the song and tell the shepherds. But they've got to hear it. And they see it and they hear it. You can't stay where you are, though. Once they hear it, what did they say? That's my favorite part of this story, is that the angels come, they scare them to death, and they're all standing there and they go, "Wow, we've seen the lights, we heard the music. That was awesome." All right? But then they say something that's extra special. They say, "Let's go to Bethlehem." You can't stay where you are and follow God. Once God makes himself known to you, you have to move with him, because God's got bigger plans than anything that's going on in your life right now. He wants you to be fulfilled. He wants you to experience true meaning in life. He wants you to experience a relationship with him. And so he calls you forth, and you can choose to go or not go. Some of the shepherds, "Well, I don't know. I want to stay here." Maybe so, but they said, "Let's go to Bethlehem." And they left. They have to go. You cannot stay where you are and follow this God when he reveals himself to you. They got to go to the stable. Go, let's go. The second thing that we find here is after they go to the stable, they find the baby just the way it was described by the angels. There's the baby in the manger. There they are. Maybe they're holding it. They're just talking to Mary and Joseph about what happened in the field there, telling them about what the angel said. Mary and Joseph, it says Mary just thinks about it. She just can't hardly believe it anyway. She's probably pretty tired. But then they must share the news. It says that they begin to share about the things that happened to them. Isn't that the way it is when something exciting happens to you? You can't wait to tell somebody. Who can hold on to good news and just keep it to themselves? You got to share it, don't you? If it's yours, if it's something that means a lot to you, now if it doesn't mean anything to you, you'll forget about it tomorrow. But if it means a lot to you and you hold it in your heart, it can't do anything else but come out. We must share. Not only must we see the message and hear the message, but we must share it as we experience it ourselves. Because we've experienced it, and because now we have to tell others. So you take it in, and you have to share it. The other thing I like about this is after the manger is and all the dust settles, and they're there, and shepherds are probably crying, the sheep are bleating, and the Mary and Joseph are exhausted. They go back. Where do they go back to? They go back to the same field, same sheep, same job, same bedroll, same fire pit. But they're not the same shepherds. We have to celebrate. And it says that they went from there back home, back to the field, and they celebrated. They were celebrating. It said they were glorifying God for all the things that have happened. They would never be the same again. They would never be the same again. Because of that first Christmas, because they went, they responded, and they owned it themselves, and they brought it into their own hearts. It changed who they were. It's kind of like us. We celebrate the Christmas holidays and everything's topsy-turvy. Stores don't know what hours they're supposed to stay open. And we don't know when we're supposed to go or not go. And we don't know which party to go to or what to buy somebody. And Christmas is chaos. And then in a couple of weeks, we settle back into the same fields, same offices, same job, same family. Same house. And there is that temptation for everything to go back to the same. But if we celebrate Christmas the way we should celebrate Christmas, it should make a difference every day of the year. It should change who we are. It should make a difference. We should not be the same shepherds. It should make a difference. God is on the move. He's still on the move today. He was on the move even back then. He didn't just stay a baby in a manger. In fact, they weren't there very long. They had to skedaddle out of that manger and get out of Dodge, or Bethlehem, and go to Egypt. And next thing you know, they're back in Nazareth. And next thing you know, Jesus is in Capernaum. Next thing you know, Jesus is at the temple in Jerusalem. Next thing you know, Jesus is over at this town, that town. Yeah. And Jesus even said of himself, "The Son of Man has no place to lay his head." On the move. You ready to go? Christmas represents a God on the move. One of the ways that we personalize what Jesus has done for us, not just the coming at Christmas, but all that he did for us to bring us back to God, is we celebrate the Lord's Supper. It was Jesus himself who said, whenever you do this, you break this bread, and it was something they could touch and feel. Whenever you take this cup and drink it, I want you to think of me and think of what I did for you and think of how much I love you. And that reminded the disciples on a regular basis to celebrate the Christmas message that God loves us and would turn the world upside down to show us. In fact, he did. That's what Christmas is. Turning the world upside down just to show you that Jesus loves you. We're going to now observe the Lord's Supper. I'm going to ask our deacons to come forward. And as they come forward, I'll remind you, we invite you to participate in this and use this as a memory tool right now to remember what Christ has done for us here again at this Christmas season. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we gather at this table, we are thankful for what you've done for us. You said in your word that no one has greater love than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. And you called us friends, Lord. Lord, you were not satisfied to leave a gap between you and us, to leave a division between God and mankind. But you bridged that gap, and you made a way to redeem us and to reconcile us to yourself. Thank you for that, God, and may this bread and this cup tonight remind us of your great love. It's in Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen.